Council on Church Family. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, today we'll be looking at Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was Saul's grandson, so it was Saul. And Saul had a son named Jonathan. And Jonathan and David were very best friends. And Jonathan's son's name is Mephibosheth. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. But before we do, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And this morning, we simply pray that as we open your word, you would bring it to light to our hearts and minds, and that we would see the Lord Jesus in this passage, and that you would receive all the glory. So we ask that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we read your word together today. So, Mephibosheth, he's Saul's grandson, and when he was 5 years old, his grandfather, who was King Saul, he died, and his father, Jonathan, died, and his nurse takes up Mephibosheth, and he's fleeing away, because what could have happened at that time is his life could have been in danger, too. And as he's fleeing away, his nurse drops him. And he's lame on both his feet. And so, anyone 5 here? Say, oh, it's 5. I'm sure there's only a couple other 5-year-olds. But just imagine if you were 5 years old and for the rest of your life you can't walk, you can't run, and you're lame on both your feet. That would be very difficult. It'd be hard not to be upset at that sort of thing. But when David and Jonathan and their best friends before Jonathan died, Jonathan said to David, "Promise me that you'll show kindness to my family afterwards." And David said, "Yes, of course, I promise to show kindness to your family." So we're going to read here from 2 Samuel chapter 9. And at this point, David's been king for quite some time. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" That's the promise that David, he remembers that he needs to keep this promise that he made to Jonathan. "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba." I just stop there for a minute. As we read through this, hopefully we can see ourselves in the person of Mephibosheth, and we can see the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of King David. So that's a goal that we have this morning as we read through this together. "And when they had called unto him David, the king said unto him, 'Are you Ziba?' And he said, 'Your servant is he.' And the king said, 'Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God to him?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet.' And the king said to him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar.' Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, 'Mephibosheth.' And he answered, 'Behold your servant.' And David said to him, 'Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually.' And he bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am?' Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, 'I have given unto your master's son all that pertains to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him, and you shall bring and you shall bring in the fruits, that your master's son may have good food, may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread always at my table.' Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, 'According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall your servant do.' As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants under Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. So David, he remembers, I made a promise to Jonathan, and he seeks out, is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake, his best friend's sake? And there's Mephibosheth, he's lame on both his feet, and Mephibosheth is living in Lodabar. Now, Lodabar means the place of no pasture. Now, today, if you live in a town with no pasture, or you live somewhere where there's not much pasture, it's really not a big deal for you. It's not a big deal because our food and our income is not really associated to pasture. We go to the grocery store, we get what we need. But at this time, if you had no pasture, you had no milk, you had no meat. God made these miracle animals, cows, sheep, goats, deer, that sort of thing. They can take and eat a grass and turn that into milk and food, energy, meat. And so if you didn't have any pasture, you were going hungry. Nowadays people, we feed grain to cattle and hogs and all these sorts of things. But in that day, grain was something that wasn't easy to come by, and it was saved for human consumption. You remember David's great-grandmother Ruth, when she was harvesting, Boaz tells the people, I'll just drop lots behind and let her glean and thresh it out. And so she just walk along, gather it all up and thresh it out. And at the end of the day, she's able to carry home everything that she gathered. Today there's machines that can harvest more grain in 1 second than any man can carry any distance. So back then, and for most of history, grain was a precious thing that was safe for human consumption. So you really needed pasture to have your milk and meat. So Lodabar, the point is this: someone living in Lodabar is probably living in a little bit of poverty, and they're not, I suppose goats can eat weeds, but it's not a land flowing with milk and meat. And you probably know what it is to be hungry if you're living in the land of Lodabar, the land of no pasture. So what? What does that mean for us today? Well, spiritually speaking, maybe we've been living a little bit too long in the land of Lodabar, the land of no pasture. And God desires to lead us to green pastures. We're to be the sheep of his pastures, and we're to be ruminating and thinking about and delighting ourselves in the Word of God. So are we delighting ourselves in the Word of God? Let's go to verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, when he was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And this is our rightful place as we approach the Lord, as we enter the presence of the King of Kings in prayers. It's as though our hearts are prostrate before him. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Isaiah, he said, I'm getting ahead of myself right there. He says here, verse 6, behold your servant. And that reminds me a little bit of Mary's words when she's told that she's going to have Christ child. She says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it according to your will, O Lord. And it's just that we'd have that reverential awe of the Lord and who he is. I think that's really important, that we, just as Mephibosheth bowed before David, that we would be bowed before the Lord and not enter his presence with prideful hearts. Verse 7, and David says to him, fear not. And had Mephibosheth had to come before any other king because he was related to the previous king, he might have rightfully feared for his life. But in the presence of David, he could say, fear not. And the Lord Jesus, those are words spoken by the King. Those are the words spoken by the Lord Jesus when he says, fear not, for I am with you. And he says, I will surely show you kindness. David says, I will surely show you kindness. And we're told in the Bible that it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. The kindness of God leads us to repentance. He says, I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And Jonathan and David, as we mentioned, they were the closest of friends. And so he's doing this for his father's sake. And we read in the New Testament, we read, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. For his name's sake. And so we can see ourselves as Mephibosheth and David as the Lord Jesus. And he goes on to say, I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and will restore to you all. And sin has absolutely broken our relationship with God. And in Psalm 69, we're told that the Messiah, he restores that which he did not take away. And so it's through the Lord Jesus that our relationship with God can be restored. And he indeed has. He's paid the sin debt so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's, just as David was trying to restore this, restore all to Mephibosheth, so the Lord Jesus, he's restoring our relationship with God. So whosoever will may come to the Father and receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance of eternal life. Our broken relationship with God can be restored. And then he goes on to say, at the end of verse 7, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Now this is said four times in this passage, that you shall eat bread at my table continually. And that would be quite a contrast to go from Lodabar, land of no pasture, not much milk or meat, to go from that poverty, from that hunger, and now you're eating at the king's table. You're eating at the king's table. There's no lack at the king's table. There's no hunger there. And David, he actually desires fellowship with Mephibosheth, just as the Lord desires to have fellowship with us. So there's fellowship at the king's table. And they could commune as friend with friend. And it reminds me of the hymn that says, oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before your throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. So who's at the king's table? Family. Family is at the king's table. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are accepted in the Beloved. We're children of the Father. It says in Ephesians, that we're children of the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're children of the Father. And so there's this fellowship at the king's table. Verse 8. So this is what David's laid out for Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth said, he bows himself and says, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am? So he hears all these wonderful things. He says, who am I that you would be mindful of me? I'm but a dead dog in your sight. And that's a very derogatory term, a dead dog, scripturally speaking. So when a little bit later on, David is actually fleeing with some of his people from Jerusalem because his son Absalom is usurping the throne and trying to take things over. And there's this guy walking along the road throwing stones at David and cursing David, and one of David's men say, why should this dead dog curse the king? Let me go over there and take off his head. And David says, no, it's from the Lord. But the point is that it was a very derogatory term to dead dog. And so Mephibosheth sees himself as a dead dog in the presence of the king. And Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he considered himself, what do you say, the chief of sinners. And Isaiah, when he was in the presence of the Lord, he says, woe is me, for I am He has this vision of in heaven they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," and he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. So he goes from Lodabar to the king's table, and there is all that he could ever ask and hope for provided for him at the king's table. Let's turn over to a few pages over to 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. And so this actually takes place when Absalom is trying to overthrow, steal the throne from his father David, and David's fleeing away, and they've been on the way a little bit. And verse 1 says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of donkeys saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 200 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and bottled wine. And the king said to Ziba, 'What do you mean by these?' And Ziba said, 'The donkeys be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink.' And the king said, 'Where is your master's son?' And Ziba said to the king, 'Behold, he abides at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father.' Then said the king to Ziba, 'Behold, yours, thine are all that pertains unto Mephibosheth.' And Ziba said, 'I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in your sight, my lord, O king.'" So Ziba says, Mephibosheth, he's back in Jerusalem. He thinks the kingdom's going to be restored to him. That's what Ziba says. And you think, well, Mephibosheth, how could you? You are eating at the king's table. David, restored to you your father's land. Well, the problem is, Ziba is actually lying. So when you turn a few pages over to 2 Samuel chapter 19, in verse 24, and that's what David, he's back into Jerusalem, things are restored, he's come back in peace. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until he came back in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, 'Wherefore did you, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle me a donkey and ride upon thereon and go to the king, because your servant is lame. And he has slandered your servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in your eyes. All of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet did you set your servant among them that eat at your own table. What right therefore have I to cry any more to the king?' And the king said to him, 'Why do you speak any more of the matters? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land.' And Mephibosheth said to the king, 'Yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house.'" And the name Mephibosheth means exterminating the idol. And he'd certainly done this in his life. And Ziba, the name Ziba actually means statue. And so that's kind of it's a fitting name for Ziba. He was, in a sense, he was given over to idolatry. He desired to have the land of Saul, and so he tells David a lie about Mephibosheth, and David gives it to him. Whereas Mephibosheth, the name means exterminating the idol. He had done that too. He wanted nothing to do. All he wanted to do was to be in the presence of the king. He couldn't care less about riches or lands or any inheritance that was even rightfully his. It was rightfully his. He didn't care. He just wanted to be with the king. "Let him take all, my lord. The king has come again in peace to his own house." The only thing that matters to Mephibosheth is that he's again in the presence of the king. And it reminds us of the words of the hymn, which are easy to sing, perhaps hard to do in heart. I would take the world, but give me Jesus. All its cares are but a name. So hopefully this morning we've seen a little bit of ourselves in Mephibosheth, and we've seen a little bit of the Lord Jesus Christ in King David. So Mephibosheth, just to wrap things up a little bit, Mephibosheth, while he was living in the land of Lodabar, it's a picture of the unconverted soul living in a barren land far from God. And he was unable to beg the king for mercy. He's lame on both feet. He just couldn't walk himself, I guess. But the gracious sovereign, as David, he sought him out in order to bless him. And once found Mephibosheth, he was given great riches and a place of fellowship at the king's table. He shall eat at the king's table continually. And so there's some parallels there in salvation, isn't there? Like Mephibosheth, we were helpless. When we were without God, we were without hope. But by grace, we became objects of divine favor. Once Mephibosheth is eating at the king's table, once he's experienced eating at the king's table, and he's experienced the provision of the king, he cares nothing anymore for his earthly inheritance and earthly possessions. He's completely satisfied to dwell in the presence of the king, to be in a place of fellowship at the king's table. And that's quite an exhortation for us this morning, quite encouragement for us this morning. Are we satisfied? Are we content with fellowship with and being in the presence of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible explains it in this way. In Ephesians, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy. And I always like the but gods in Scripture. They're like a giant eraser. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, he erases them. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been lifted up to a place in the family of God. We've been made joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. So may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this week.